You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Steve, John, and Kev were not in Washington for the Microsoft Xbox One reveal, but they do own the internet, and they have got streaming capabilities, so let's pretend they were there and listen to what they've got to say about the Xbox One.
For those of you living under a wet rock somewhere who don't have any kind of internet connection whatsoever, on May 21st, Microsoft took the wraps off of, drumroll, the Xbox One.
The Xbox didn't win, it lost.
I was going to say, it was not a case of Xbox, there can be only one, and more of Xbox Trinity, I'm not the one.
So yeah, I'm sure we've all got a collective we've all got thoughts, I'm very sure, and I'm not going first.
Oh, you're not going first?
I'm not going first.
Okay, I'll get the ball rolling on this little thing while I'm pouring a shandy into a beer stein shaped like a cowboy boot, because that's how I roll.
You are so lame.
Drinking a shandy, John. Hipster.
What'd you run out of Pabst?
Actually, the liquor store didn't have any Pabst, but this did catch my eye.
I bet you Don Matrick drinks Pabst.
Yeah?
Definitely.
I bet you Don Matrick's going to buy an Xbox One.
Somebody's got to.
So, okay, first things first. 37 minutes. 37 minutes before video games were even mentioned on what I'm sure all of us made the mistake of assuming was going to be a new video game console.
Yep.
I almost turned it off. I was this close, man. I'm done.
No, I wasn't. You can't see Kevin making the thumb and forefinger pinchy pinchy motion when he says this close.
I did. I absolutely did. You know me too well.
And I saw this was brought up hilariously because the best part about this is, especially for anyone who, you know, primarily does their gaming on the PS3 this past generation, it was absolutely hilarious to see just the memes start to roll out less than 24 hours after the presentation ended. One of the funniest ones I saw was somebody counted how many times the words content and experience were used.
That was Bossman, Kyle Bossman on Game Trailers. Yeah, he is absolutely fucking brilliant.
That was goddamn hilarious. And like the clip goes on for about 4 minutes of experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they've turned the words content and experience into meaningless buzzwords. So I'm going to stop using them in my weekly article entirely.
Oh, God. I just saw the Photoshop box art of Call of Duty Ghost Dog.
At least some of them use the logo from Forrest Whitaker's Ghost Dog.
I don't know, but it's the cover, you know, the guy lifting up the mask, but underneath, instead of like a Navy SEAL, it's a German Shepherd muzzle sticking out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when you first described that to me, because I didn't get to watch it until like, I got home from work. And when you first described, I was wondering, did he mean a retired, like a Navy SEAL canine unit? Or did he mean, like, he said they were talking about, you know, it was some lame guy up there talking in a bonnet saying how they used a retired SEAL, dog. But no, it turned out to be a dog.
Yeah, it was an actual dog, and that's just really lame.
Okay. Also lame. Was that canned heat I heard? Did Microsoft hire plants to hoot and holler?
It sounded like it.
I think Kyle hits it more right, actually. I think, again, Bossman, very poignant in his observations. I think what it was, I don't think it was that Microsoft hired shouters. I think it was that it was all done on the Microsoft campus. And if you watch the press conference, you can see that the entire press section, all the guys with laptops, nobody
are sitting on their goddamn hands.
Yeah, there's no hands. They're all just sitting there staring at screens, and you hear all the hooting and hollering. I think what Microsoft did was they basically went around the campus and said, employees who want to attend, you know, come show up. be enthusiastic. We're going to mic you. You know, we're going to put a mic on that section of the crowd. Yeah. And I think what they did was they just had, you know, 50 or 100 Xbox and, like, Microsoft in general employees in one particular section of the auditorium, and they were all mic'd.
Well, because it was just – it was so lame. It was hilarious. TV integration. Woo! Woo!
Call of Duty Ghosts. Woo! Clap, clap.
By the way, TV integration sounds like a great idea that nobody outside of the United States will be able to use.
It sounds like a great idea in 1997.
Yeah. And this is what scared me the most. A machine that is connected to the internet, equipped with a mandatory camera and microphone that is never off and always listening.
Yeah, and basically measures body language and stuff to determine whether or not it should crank up difficulty in a game. Like, that to me is too much, man.
You know what that is
to
me?
Much.
This is our land. A land of peace and of plenty. A land of harmony and of hope. That is fucking creepy. And just, I was really, really hoping, because, we started getting the warning signs where people were, who was the guy, one of the indie developers said how he had seen some stuff and it didn't like the direction.
Well, indie developers have been, you can't take anything that indie developers say with any amount of credence because they've been completely locked out of the system.
Yeah.
You know, the Indie Games Channel.
Yeah, people talk about they don't like the direction it seemed to be heading in, right?
And no wonder they can't publish games on it anymore.
Exactly. And now, but, you know, I was kind of holding on to hope that there is no way they can be that out of touch with their fan base. And watching these guys up on stage, all I could think of, all that kept going back to me was, you know, seeing videos in history class of videos and newsreels of everything of dictators standing up on stage not realizing there's a revolution brewing at their feet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's, and unless Microsoft rolls out just nothing short of A-bomb quality gameplay footage at E3 in a few weeks, I really think come November, they're going to get a taste of humble pie.
I think that anybody expecting a revolution at this E3, like between any of the systems, you know, between any like PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, but anybody who is really expecting, you know, a mind-blowing display is going to be disappointed. I think next year is going to be the year when you really see software that, like, knocks the socks off, you know? Yeah. I don't think it's going to be this year. I think Sony's going to have a strong showing. I think Microsoft is going to show a few. Okay, the focal point of their system, you know? And it's hilarious. I was talking to a guy at work earlier this evening, and we were just discussing it or whatever. I think it was you, Kevin, I was talking to, actually.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was.
It was you, and you know, we were talking about how their focal point was Call of Duty Ghosts, and then that's you got right. An email saying you can pre-order Call of Duty Ghosts right now on PSN.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't understand.
Actually, Steve, it might have been you said it the other night on our, or the, when we were, you know, snipping back and forth on our Facebook page about it, how they just keep wheeling out FIFA and Call of Duty.
Yeah, and like
two franchises that gamers can get wherever the fuck they want.
Yeah, right. They can get them on PC if they want them bad enough.
Yeah,
you know, it's a situation where, you know, they're it's to the point now that they're kind of using them as a shield. Like Matrix's been getting hammered about this used game fiasco and how they're going to handle the used game sales, and he just keeps trumpeting, well, we got FIFA and Call of Duty. That's not what we asked you. You know, we're asking you about used game sales. FIFA! Call of Duty! You know?
And you can watch The Price is Right as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, they could have at least put on a station that gamers would be interested in to show that off. You know, like a sci-fi or something except for Price is Right. Like, how many gamers in their 20s watch The Price is Right?
I just... Yeah. What I really hated about the multimedia part of it was, you know how they name drop, you know, like the chickie from Microsoft Entertainment from 343 or whatever comes out and she's like, oh, you can watch all your favorite shows like blah, 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 or blah, 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 or my personal favorite, Game of Thrones, you know? Yeah. Fuck
we're
you.
Alice in Wonderland. This is my favorite movie, dog.
Yo, we got Star Trek in your Star Trek. You could be watching Star Trek, and you can buy tickets for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay. You're showing off the power of your TV integration with a movie that came out 4 fucking years ago. At least, you know, put on the trailer for the new one. And again, okay, here's another thing. All that talk, and I'm a football fan. I love me some football. The people who love football to the level that, you know, Microsoft wants them to connect to integrate their TVs or whatever, these people already have packages with their cable and satellite providers that give them, like, NFL HD network.
Yeah, but now the thing with Microsoft, what they were really trumpeting was the whole integration into, like, your fantasy football league and stuff like that, like stat tracking and yada, yada, yada. And, I mean, to me, that's just... Like, the appeal of that, I mean, yes, I know a lot of people do fantasy sports pools and all of that kind of stuff, but part of the appeal of these fantasy sports pools and the fake drafts and all that stuff, part of the appeal is, you know, going to work or going on an email list and comparing what you got picked, like, with all your buddies physically, you know, like with your coworkers or whatever, you know? It's a buddy of mine, a fellow coworker, Mike Byrne, actually described it brilliantly. It's Dungeons and Dragons for people who don't play Dungeons and Dragons.
My brother describes it the exact same way.
It's a social
sports
thing.
Games are RPGs.
Yeah, it's a social thing. You know, it's about competing and stuff like that with other people and stat tracking and stuff. And sitting down at your Xbox and doing that with a bunch of names on your friends list that you probably never met just seems really fucking stupid to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What... I just think that all this great stuff that's come along this generation, you know, like half the time spent while my PS3 is on, it's connected to Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay? 2 points. But that's a Benny. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
Right? A bonus on my game machine.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Microsoft is just – that's all they want to hook into. Something that – like these bonuses that – you know, we all totally know you're going to get charged your Xbox Live fee on top of whatever other premium fees you got to pay for these services.
And what's even worse, again, is even the basic services, like these apps that they're touting and these Snap features and all of this bullshit, without Xbox Live Gold, none of it is going to function.
Yeah.
None of it. I mean, I tried downloading apps on my Xbox 360. I don't have Gold. I don't pay for online on Xbox 360. Why? Because I think it's a ripoff. I don't play online. It'd be different
if
I was...
Xbox Live was a fantastic idea, but as soon as the competition started giving it away for free...
Yeah, and over and above that, like, I mean, I don't begrudge the $69 a year fee or $59 a year, whatever it is these days, to these people who worship at the Temple of Call of Duty every night, whose entire social circle is built around getting online with their clan and pwning noobs every evening for hours at a time. You want to pay for Xbox Live? You're getting your money's worth. But when you're looking at a two-tiered society, when you're looking at a system that won't let you use the features unless you're paying for online, you know, like that. I can't use Internet Explorer on my Xbox 360 because I don't have Gold. I can't send someone a fucking voice message because I don't have Gold. That is bullshit.
That's ridiculous. You can't even use a browser?
No.
What still blows my mind to this?
I want, but I can't use them.
What still blows my mind to this day is, okay, you got your Netflix on there. What is it, $8 a month?
Yep.
For Netflix. You don't have Xbox Gold? Sorry. But we'll crowd your desktop or your media bar, or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yep.
With all sorts of ads for this stuff.
Yep.
You know, we'll choke you with ads for these wonderful features. But unless you want to pay for those features and then pay our $69.99 a year, you can't have it.
No. And that to me is utter horseshit. I understand paying for servers. I understand paying for playing online. Fine. You know what? You want to charge for that, I can get behind it. I don't like it, but I can get behind it, you know? I wouldn't do it because I don't typically play online. The amount of time I would spend in an online game shooting other people on Xbox can be measured in milliseconds. You know, so I don't pay for the service. But for me to be locked out of the features of the system, to be locked out of apps, to not be able to use Internet Explorer, which I can go on the store and download freely, but can't run because I don't have Xbox Live Gold, man, that is seriously fucked up.
Wow. I actually tried to watch the press conference on my
PS3. Yeah, getting back on topic.
But, I mean, all of these features that they're touting, which are useless anyway, which have no bearing on, I don't know, a video game console, you know, like, I can't use them anyway, so it's irrelevant to me. I don't have cable. I haven't had cable since 1999. Why the fuck would I pay for it now? You know, it's stupid.
And sorry, Kev, just before you go on there, it's again to me just a massive slap in the face of Microsoft. The original Xbox came out, and for 2002 was a goddamn beast.
It was
right.
It was a beast
that was
machine.
A powerful, powerful console, and it showed.
Yep.
When games came out that were exclusive to that console, it showed the power.
Even some of the multi-platform stuff, like some even like mid and later in that system's life cycle, there was shit on that machine that the PlayStation 2.
Oh, dude, I remember. Okay, Burnout Revenge on Xbox looked 100 times better than it did on PlayStation 2.
And
Black
like Splinter
looked 100
Cell.
Times better on Xbox. Splinter Cell. Yes, in PlayStation 2, you walk through a doorway into a hallway. In the Xbox, you walk into the exact same room, only it's a gigantic goddamn mezzanine.
Yeah, and like right? Chaos Theory. I mean, Chaos Theory looked gorgeous. It had bump mapping and all the fancy lighting tricks that were just
original Chronicles of Riddick, one of the best looking games on the Xbox.
Yeah, at Doom 3.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done Doom 3 on a PlayStation 2.
Doom 3, the game they said could never be on a game console.
Yeah.
Right? But no, it looked, the original Xbox was a beast. The Xbox 360, Microsoft brilliantly, and I will call it brilliantly, got that out on the market a year early.
Yep.
And not only did that, but delivered software that everyone wanted.
Yep.
You know, that in around 2006, I believe, 2006, 2007, just as the Wii, well, I mean, the Wii landed and, you know, we all fell into the, society fell into the whole gimmick.
Yeah, we didn't.
But, you know, as Sony tried to struggle to gain some footing, Microsoft was delivering games.
Yeah.
It was delivering great software. And what brought them to the table, what made Xbox the brand it is today, they have turned around and just slapped every single one of us in the face with their dick.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that for 2 years, 3 years now.
It's just,
I've been saying that since 2008.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah. And this press conference was a prime example of Microsoft and how they do things. And I mean, I've said it from day one. I've said it from the original Xbox, you know. Sony, Nintendo, like, those guys, Sony and Nintendo are just so bizarre in how they do things. Sony comes out and says, this is what we got. You know, like, hey guys, take a look. And it's kind of up to us to decide what we think of it. Like, they kind of leave the ball in your court. And for some reason, the American, and I'm not going to say the press in general, I'm going to say the American gaming press, because it's always been the fucking American gaming press that does it, considers them vague or aloof or elitist or snobbish or secretive, because they're not giving you every little detail. They're not force-feeding you every little morsel. And Sony has never worked that way. Sony has always come out and said, here's our hardware, here's our games, here's what we got. You know, they're very transparent about it, too. It's just, they're not force-feeding it down your throat. They're not shouting it in your face. They're showing you what they have, is what they're doing. Nintendo comes out, and they're just riding a unicycle, playing a trombone, and hoping someone's going to notice. You know, they're just going crazy. And either people are going to think it's really cool, or people are going to think it's really esoteric and weird, and they're just going to move on. Microsoft comes out and tells you, you need this. You have to have this. It must be yours. This is what you want. And, you know, like, I for one, I knee-jerk against that. I automatically, like, that's an automatic turn-off for me. When Microsoft comes out with a game console and starts showing me snapping between multiple panels and really awkward-looking gesture controls and voice control that's just completely geeky and ridiculous, I I check out, and the way they're touting it like this big innovation, and we're going to change the way you watch television, the way you experience your content, you know, and I'm sitting there going, this looks really fucking stupid.
They're also going to change the content of your experience.
Yes, well, exactly. But, like, it just looks really dumb. Like, when Azuf, or whatever their frig the guy's name was there, and he was doing the pinch, like, holding his fists and closing a window, and the audience starts hooting and hollering, and I'm like, you can't use this console without looking like another total spaz. Or sounding like one, apparently.
Xbox sandwich.
If it was able to do that, it would be a day one buy for me.
It'd be a pretty shitty sandwich, though.
It would be, but I'd eat it.
I got some more concise thoughts, but I'm going to hold them back. I'm going to let Kev roll on this hate train.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe he can add something positive to the conversation.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I think I did have something positive, but I don't remember what it was.
You had to try very hard.
I did something positive. Oh, my goodness.
Was it that they put the Remedy logo on screen for a few seconds?
No.
No, that did nothing for me.
That game looked fucking stupid, too.
I don't even remember it. All I remember is a creepy
little
girl.
They didn't show any games.
Quantum Break or whatever it was called.
Let's see. What looked good about it? It has a Blu-ray drive.
Which doesn't play movies.
What?
It only plays games.
What are you talking about?
It doesn't play Blu-ray movies.
Now, hold on a second.
But you can pay to download your movies.
On
Xbox. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, the Wii U's in the same boat there. The Wii U, all the games come on Blu-ray.
Right.
Yeah, but it just doesn't play movies.
So when they touted the fact that they had a Blu-ray drive in it during the press conference.
Oh, that was just all about storage medium, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really stupid.
This time we'll have Metal Gear Solid.
Wow. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I guess I don't have anything good to say.
You got anything bad to say?
Well, you know, everything that's been said, really, you know, and I watched that video, you know, that guy, I think he's actually an actor. He does the whole rage videos. His name is Francis.
I don't know.
Anyway, he does these like rage videos on YouTube where he freaks out about, you know, playing Xbox and he destroys machines and he goes crazy. And he did a short video about the Xbox One reveal, where he said a lot of positive stuff about it. But the positive stuff led into bad stuff. And the one thing that really struck me what he said was the fact that, oh, this is going to be an all-in-one, you know, you can watch TV. You're just going to have one thing in your living room underneath, you know. Now if you have, you know, a cable box, I mean, that's still going to be there. That's going to be plugged into it. So really, you know, that's not going to change.
Yeah, because the hardware is only an overlay, which I found absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. So that really, I was like, no, you're still going to have all those other boxes there.
Yeah. Oh, my. Where to begin?
Oh,
what,
man, dude.
What a steaming pile of shit. That's all I can say. That really, like, they basically did exactly what I have been saying for the last 2 years that they should not do. And they did the polar opposite of what Sony did. I mean, say what you want. I mean, people accuse me all the time. Well, if you're a Sony fanboy anyway, I go where games are. I had two absolutely wonderful years with my Xbox.
Okay, mark that down, Kevin. If games arrive on the Ouya, Steve's got to buy one.
Oh, I will. I own a Wii U.
Sorry, on the Ouya.
I bought a Wii U, okay?
He did buy a Wii U.
No games on that.
Solely for Monster Hunter. I bought that system to play Monster Hunter in high def, okay? I have an illness.
All right. So does this mean that you're going to buy the 3DS because of the new Link to the Past?
No, it doesn't.
No?
No. I can't do portable gaming, man. I've come to the conclusion that portable gaming and me just really don't get along well.
All right.
That's why I don't own a Vita either. I mean, I tried the Assassin's Creed on Vita. I thought it was really freaking cool, but I won't play it. I just won't sit down and play a portable system.
Mm-hmm.
I know I won't. It's not made for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I leave it at that. And this
the
thing,
systems don't fit. They don't fit in his gigantic paws and big lanky ape arms. And, it's like watching a gorilla peel bark off a tree. Bent over there, furrowing his brow, looking at the PSP.
I love my PSP. I really do, but I don't play it. I couldn't tell you the last time I turned it on.
Grand Theft Auto.
I actually imported a game for PSP.
Did you?
I did. I imported White Knight Chronicles for it.
I bought mine because they're a whole. Well, I have an illness too. I bought mine for a remake of Mega Man X. But I bought a whole ton of really great RPGs for the PSP that I'll sit down, turn on, and be like, why did I buy these? Because I'm not going to play an RPG on a portable system.
I mean, E7 was amazing for the 2 hours I played it.
Mm. Now, thankfully, E7 is set up so you can play for 15 minutes and you can save it anywhere you want.
Yeah, which is nice. Right? But yeah, anyway, back on topic. You know, I go where games are. I'm not a fanboy. Yes, I like my Sony systems. I do. However, I will freely acknowledge strengths or weaknesses in other systems and in Sony systems as well. And back in February when Sony did their thing, I liked 95% of what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, other than Knack, which I thought looked really freaking stupid, and I thought for a first game to be showing, when I saw Knack, I was like, uh-oh. You know? But then they did...
This is a game for John Mercer.
But then I saw Shadowfall, and was like, woo! But, yeah, I don't know, like, you know, PS4, I liked 95% of what I saw. I was really content. I love the social media aspect of it, which is something Microsoft just seems to be completely ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, with the Xbox One, it's like the entire machine is a paradox. It's like, okay, they're going on about their Xbox Live network and how many new servers they have and how connected you will be and more connected than ever before. Connected, 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 you know.
To your content and your experience.
Yeah, to your experiencing your content and yada, yada, yada. But then they trumpet it as a TV box. So it's like, okay, you'll be more connected than ever, but you're just going to sit down and watch TV, which is an entirely solitary fucking experience. So you're just going to sit there by yourself and watch television while all your Xbox friends list sits there and watches you watch television. And the features that were added, like I said it on someone's Facebook page last week when, you know, when they started talking about it and stuff, I said they're going for the oh-so-quaint late 20th century set-top box. Do you remember when everybody talked about set-top boxes?
Yeah.
You remember when set-top box was the big thing? The PS2 is going to be the ultimate set-top box because it has a DVD player. You know, like, this is what they're going for. They're going for this set-top box, this TV/game player machine. And they're hamstringing their hardware to do it. I looked down through the stats, and on paper, you look at the stats, and it and the PS4 are pretty close. They're pretty parallel. You know, 8 gigs of RAM in each system. Similar 8-core processors, both AMD, all of this fun stuff. But then you look at how they're using that hardware. Sony, like 90% of it, 100% of it is just as well to say, is dedicated to the gaming. You know, you got 8 gigs of super fast RAM, you got a great processor. All of it is dedicated to being a game machine. You know, it's all about developers being able to take advantage of that horsepower to create better games. The Xbox uses 3 OSs, which eat anywhere from 2 to 3 gigs of that 8 gigs of RAM at any given time, which is all unusable from a developer standpoint for gaming. And they're basically enforcing the fact that Kinect has to be on, has to be connected. They're enforcing the fact that games have to have Kinect features. They're enforcing the fact that you have to leave 3 gigs of space free at all times for the OS so you can switch back to TV seamlessly whenever you want to. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Really? Like, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be sitting there in the middle of an intense Call of Duty online match and go, Xbox, HBO, Game of Thrones. You know, like... It's so wrong to me. And then on top of that, they're hitching their wagon to this TV thing that went out 2 years ago. Network television is dying a slow, painful death. You know, everybody's going Netflix, Amazon streaming. What's this other one? The other freaking big service in the States? You got
Hulu.
Hulu, you know, like all of it. I mean, even on PSN now, for God's sake, you got Neon Alley for like anime content, and you've got Crackle and all of this streaming, all this on demand. Even
I'm pretty sure I saw one the other day that's
are going
just
demand, like
just for music.
Bell in Canada both have big, huge on demand selections. If I want to go watch the latest episode of Game of Thrones, I can go into the HBO on demand and watch it whenever I want. And Microsoft is hitching to television. I can't. It really blows my mind how out of touch they are. I'm stunned by how stupid they are. That to me is just like, wow. And then one of the biggest features that they touted was this guide, Xbox Guide, which is an on-screen television guide.
Yeah.
Which my parents had.
Oh my God, it's Channel 8.
Yeah, my parents have had that for 20 years. Why? Wow. And of course, well, the games, you know, nothing exclusive. Everything, okay, Forza and Quantum bullshit. But, you know, Quantum Break reeks to me of one of these shooters with a gimmick that's going to wind up in the bargain bin, like Time Shift and Turning Point and, what was it, Inversion and...
And sadly, Fuse.
Fuse, Fracture, you know, all of these other games that nobody plays. And then we got Forza 5, which, I mean, I'm a huge Forza fan, and right now that is the only reason I would even consider an Xbox One. And the fact that they put a fucking Top Gear logo right on the box, that hurts. That stings. Oh, like, that really does sting. I need to see more before I can make a definite call because
you need to see another trailer narrated by Jeremy Clarkson.
Narrated by Jeremy, and I want to see Top Gear content in game because the Top Gear content in Forza 4 was kind of a disappointment. You know, it wasn't anything fancy. It was the Auto Vista mode was pretty cool, and hearing Clarkson do commentaries on the cars was great and all, but it was only a small selection of cars. There were like 19 or 20 cars or something, and the Top Gear track was just used really poorly.
Steve wants to go on the Nürburgring and race Sabine Schmidt.
That would be awesome. I would be.
She's going to beat you in a van.
But have the Stig in there, you know, do a hot lap around the Top Gear track and stuff like that. But I mean, all the Top Gear track events in it were knocking bowling pins, giant bowling pins down with your car. They were lame. They were really lame.
Steve wants to pick a star from Xbox's TV integration and put them in a reasonably priced car.
Yeah, I want to race against Peter Dinklage. I'll totally kick his ass because his feet can't reach the pedals.
No, he's going to totally have the whole short round set up.
Oh, okay.
T-boxes. Only with Peter Dinklage, it'll probably be whiskey bottles.
Yeah. But, I mean, and the other thing, you know, everybody kind of... The Xbox, the supporters, the diehards, the loyalists. Larry, I'm looking at you. You know, everybody else came out of this press conference and said, like, oh, my God, Microsoft, what have you done? Whereas the loyalists are like, well, let's just wait until E3. Let's just wait until E3. You know, and...
I'm sorry, the only thing just is... Schmendrick, what have you done?
And the problem I have with E3, with this wait till E3 attitude... Okay, Forza 5 is going to be there, I'm sure, and it's going to be stunning. But... Call of Duty Ghosts is also coming for PlayStation 4.
And
PlayStation 3. And Xbox 360. And Wii U. You know, like, it's going to be everywhere. And I'm sure it's going to be the same game on all of the systems. It's just going to look a little prettier on Xbox One and PS4. And then on top of that, you've got Battlefield 4, which looks better anyway. You know, so, I mean, like, there's so many reasons for me not to even bother waiting till E3. Like, there's so many reasons for me to just basically dismiss the system now. I like the idea of Crytek doing a game set during the fall of the Roman Empire, but then I know that it's going to be a first-person hack and slasher that uses Kinect controls extensively, and that is about as appealing to me as someone using Kinect controls to stab me in the face. So I just, you know...
I can't believe we've gone this far and we haven't even brought up the most disturbing or possibly the biggest piece of news.
What was that?
the whole no use games thing, the question.
Yeah, I was getting to that. Yeah. That is the last thing. The lack of information, like the lack of, I can't even say the lack of information. I think the lack of any realization that they actually know what they're doing in that department really startled me. And even since then, like, it's just been, you know, shit cake after shit cake. It's been horse patties as far as the eye can see. Every bit of news that's come out about the system since has been bad.
Well, our good close friends at IGN.com, who we never knock and we all love so dearly, put out a report, took a poll in IGN UK,
yeah,
and released it on all the IGN affiliate sites, yeah. Original IGN, Australian flavored IGN. And
they have a Canadian section now too, hey?
Do they?
IGN.ca, yeah.
Okay, is it going to, like, Google, and I can never go to Google.com, I can never see IGN.com again? Because if I never have to see Destin's face again, I'll be happy.
No, he's still there, don't worry. I think they just added the .ca.
Okay. The, no, apparently they took a poll, and 75% of gamers who took part in the poll were severely disappointed.
Yeah. And then there's the GameSpot UK poll where they started their little Twitter war. And they basically, they had, you know, if you're an Xbox supporter, I put in the hashtag, I support Xbox One or whatever. And if you're PS4, I support PS4. PS4 got 92%. That's pretty telling right there.
Did you guys hear about the stocks?
Yeah, now the stock thing, that was shitty reporting on IGN's part.
I'm not talking about the Sony 9% thing.
Oh, okay.
Not that, because a lot of that has to do with some spinoff in their entertainment division.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget Sony's a big-ass corporation with 100 different divisions.
IGN just kind of misconstrued that by posting it as a headline saying Sony stocks rise 9% after Xbox One announcement.
Yeah. No, that was a coincidence.
Yeah.
However, Nintendo stock rose 2%.
Yep.
Microsoft had a small tremor, a drop of 0.68%. That's not much. GameStop.
Yeah, I saw that.
Took a hit of 5%.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
And yeah. I can guarantee you that GameStop's CEO was on the phone to Don Matrick then saying, "What the fuck are you doing, Don?"
Yeah.
And I can pretty much guarantee that unless Microsoft sorts out their shit really quickly in the...
Well, GameStop has said, okay, 75 to 80% of their billions of dollars comes from used game sales.
Yeah.
And Steve, you worked in the industry. You yes. know for a fact, for retailers, there is no money in new game sales.
No, there isn't. There's not. And that's not going to change any with the next generation. And the other thing with it is, you know, it's different when you got Bobby Kotick saying to GameStop about Call of Duty and saying basically, no, you guys are the biggest video game retailer this week. We can turn it to Walmart tomorrow. They could. They have that power. You know, like the publishers, the game providers, the content providers have that power. They can dictate. You know, like a company especially as big as Activision, all Activision has to do is pull Call of Duty and World of Warcraft out of GameStop tomorrow, and they are in the shit. You know? Whereas with the Xbox, it's not a one-horse show. You know? Like, it's not like saying, hey, guess what? You'll never, ever be able to buy a Call of Duty game at GameStop again unless they play ball with Activision. This is, you know, one system out of three being blacklisted. And if people can still get the games they want to play on PS4, guess where they're going to go? You know, they're going to jump ship en masse, and GameStop's not going to give a shit.
No, like you said yourself, they're going to go where the games are.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, what's Microsoft going to do then? You know, they're going to rely on big box retailers exclusively? They're just going to stick with the Walmarts and Best Buys of the world?
Say what you will about console fanboys. Honestly, when it comes down to it, they don't exist. If you've bought a console and there's nothing coming out for it, there's no games for it, well, guess what you're trading in?
Yep. And I mean, console fanboys, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Like the Nintendo fanboy, the hardcore Sony fanboy, the hardcore Microsoft fanboy, yes, they're online in droves. Like, I mean, they're very vocal, but they're the equivalent to Kevin Smith and Joss Whedon fans. You know? Yeah, they're very loud. They make a lot of noise, but there ain't very many of them.
No, and I mean, yeah, when push comes to shove, gamers are going to go where the games are.
Exactly. And I mean, if one, like, if the company that controls, what, 65 to 70% of the industry, sales, decides they're going to blacklist one of the systems, what's going to happen then? You know? That 65 to 70% of the industry, yeah, I'm sure GameStop will take a little bit of a hit. Some people will just go to Walmart. But the vast majority of gamers, those guys who, you know, load up game trailers to watch their latest review or feature or whatever and see GameStop Power to the Players ads every 5.5 seconds and, you know, go into pre-order.
Game players who like to go into a game store and, you know, see an employee who's actually going to talk to them about games, whether or not they've been ordered to, rather than going to Walmart and walking around for 15 minutes looking for somebody to unlock the rack for them.
Yeah, it's a different experience, right?
Exactly.
It's like going to an Apple store. It's like these people who love going to Apple stores because the people in Apple stores are trained to deal with customers a particular way. And that's something I can vouch for firsthand. I've been through the training. I know exactly what it's like. And I think it's fucking brilliant. I really do. Because people go in and buying an iPad or whatever, it becomes an experience. It becomes, you know, they're talking to a guy. He's friendly. He's knowledgeable. He knows about the product. He knows exactly what to tell you.
Well, that person wants to buy their iPhone or their iPad, and they're dealing with someone who's enthusiastic about the iPhone or the iPad.
Yeah, you're not walking into Walmart and saying
you're 80% more likely to buy your product.
Exactly.
You know, I go into GameStop, and it's a different experience each time. Sometimes it gets annoying, but sometimes, you know, you go up to the counter, and I don't know, they just get the tone of their voice right and say, did you hear about this coming out? And we'll actually get you excited about it.
Yep. And it's, you know, I mean, this is the thing. Like, when a store like that abandons a machine, I mean, we're not to say that it's going to happen. I'm hoping Microsoft takes the reasonable path of least resistance and offers something similar to the Online Pass program, which I know the hardcore are going to bitch and moan and complain and bitch and moan and complain and bitch, but that is the most logical step to take.
Yeah.
Have a $10 to $15, you know, like when a game is a new release, maybe $19.99. You know, like, you buy a game used, you come home, you pay $19.99 to get your registration code, you register it, and off you go. And if EB wants to do the reasonable thing, or GameStop, you know, they'll knock $10 off their used price. They'll knock it down to $15 less than new retail. You know, then someone buys the game used.
Which they should have anyway.
Oh, well, I mean, granted, that's neither here nor there. But the thing is, you know, right now, people go to EB or GameStop or one of these stores, they buy a used game, that company is getting 100% of the profit. They might as well be going to a torrent site and downloading it.
Yeah.
It's exactly the fucking same. You know, and
might as well buy your movies off some, you know, some guy with a rack on the streets of Hong Kong.
Yeah, some dirty Russian at a flea market, you know. But this is what you're doing. When you're buying used, this is what you're doing. And I mean, like, you know what? No, money doesn't grow on trees. Sometimes it's the only way to get a game. But the thing is, you know, it's the attitude that, you know, it's not doing any harm. It's a self-serving approach, and it does kill a lot of titles. You know, the fact that, I mean, look at something like Kingdoms of Amalur, which did pretty well. You know, like,
this is the death of studios.
Yeah, exactly. The game sold 1.8 million or something like that, but how much more did it sell used? That type of game, an RPG, you know, people play it for 30 or 40 hours and they think, okay, I'm done, I'm going to trade it and get something else. And then someone else comes in, picks up the used copy. How many used copies did that?
Especially when retailers are telling you, hey, there's a new game coming out. If you trade towards this, you'll get this much more credit.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
You know, okay, I reviewed Injustice a few weeks ago. We all know how that turned out.
Yep.
I brought Injustice back, and because I was trading it towards Fuse,
yep.
I got the game nearly paid off.
Yep.
It's almost game for game. Mm. You know, special promotions on new and upcoming titles, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. I really don't.
Sports.
Oh, can I bring up one more thing?
Yeah.
And this is just nitpicking on my part, but, you know, you're doing your big new system unveiling. Microsoft is a company that's got some serious payola. They have been talking for years about trying to make Halo into a motion picture.
Yep.
So here is our satellite feed of Steven Spielberg. How much more potent would the announcement of that Halo TV series have been if they'd actually managed to get him to walk out on stage?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and that to me just smacked of Hired Gun.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and I mean, Spielberg, his connotation with the Xbox has always felt that way to me. It was the same when the 360 launched. He had
you're getting Steven Spielberg, the producer, as opposed to Steven Spielberg, the director.
Yeah, he doesn't. He like his excitement does not feel genuine to me. You know, like it feels like, yeah, I'm associated with Microsoft because they're going to pay me X number of dollars.
Yeah,
you know, and that's all there is to it.
He did play Pong, though. He mentioned that.
Oh yeah, he's a gamer, all right.
Yeah, he played Pong in the 70s.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you. Yeah, I mean, see, I love Steven Spielberg as a director.
He played Pong when all of them were snorting coke back in the 70s.
I just, you know, I love Spielberg. I think he's, you know, in terms of Hollywood talent, I mean, he's one of the greatest who's ever lived. But just stay the fuck away from our medium there, Spielberg. You got your movies. Yeah. Be happy with that.
Yeah,
you don't belong here.
Walk on home, boy.
And when you do show up, it's like everybody else. Whenever they churn celebrities out, it's always awkward. You know?
SSX, Deadly Ascents.
It's, I don't know. I just, you know, the whole thing just reeks of we really have no idea what we're doing. And, I mean, I'm sure they'll have a load of games at E3. I'm sure E3 will be all games. But I wonder.
Oh, well, it's damage control time now.
Oh yeah.
What company wouldn't do it, man? There is no other way to describe it. This unveiling has been an unmitigated disaster.
Yep.
I mean, the thing about E3 is that Sony is once again going to have a leg up on them in terms of enthusiasm.
Yep.
Because they're going to be revealing what the actual system looks like.
They're going to have that. And I mean, Sony were intelligent about it, man. Sony were really fucking smart about it. They showed just enough back in February to get people excited and to get people talking. And yep, to show that, you know, they didn't put all their cards on the table, but they put enough of it there to show that, you know, like Microsoft's whole thing was about content and experience. Sony's whole thing was about gaming, gamers, and developers.
Yeah.
And social. Like, that was their four big buzzwords were gaming, gamers, developers, social. You know, and...
Well, okay, the share button on the controller. I should have found that the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited about
it. Yeah, and I mean, Microsoft is doing something similar, but what Microsoft is doing is in dashboard, not in game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, again, it's like, okay, it's like a game DVR. You go in your...
But no, but it's okay because we got 3 gigabytes of RAM dedicated to switching you back to that dashboard.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, it's like the idea of being able to stick up, you know, between your friends, being able to share a section of a game, like Kev is stuck in Uncharted 7. I can get past the part that he's stuck. I can hop into his game, hijack it, and get past it for him. Or I can do it on my own, record it, and share the video with him. You know, like...
I hope he's got to give you permission to do that, because if I'm playing a game with you, I'm going to be like, Steve, what the fuck, man?
I'm sure you do. I'm sure it's got to be an invite thing or something, you know. But either way, and then on top of that, Microsoft's attitude about it all has just smacked to so much hubris, man. You know, like, I read a quote today by Matrick that infuriated me. The backwards compatibility thing.
Oh, that was terrible.
And I mean, I've been saying it to Brian, me and myself and Brian, we always get into the conversations, the heated debates about the systems and all that kind of stuff. And it's something we enjoy talking about. The two of us sit down.
They slap each other.
We don't slap each
other. It's hilarious. You totally slap each other.
But you know, we do have educated and informed conversations about this stuff. And I've been saying it since day one. Brian's been like, I hope they're backwards compatible. I hope they're backwards compatible. I was like, Brian, don't hold your breath. Neither one of the machines is going to be backwards compatible. The stats were like this. 90% of people who own PS3s did not use it. More than that did not use it on Xbox 360. You know, like, the backwards compatibility was an irrelevant issue. You had this extreme minority. You had guys like me who had a huge PlayStation 2 library who wanted to be able to play them upscaled in high def. Fair enough. Most people did not use the feature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90-odd% of the gaming populace did not use it. Sony comes out with the PS4, and they talk about their ultimate goal. And, I mean, it's a lofty goal. It's ambitious. I don't know if it's ever going to fly. But their ultimate goal is to have everything in the PS3 library streaming on Gaikai. And, I mean, it'll work. That technology works. It's been proven to work. OnLive proved that it worked, even if it wasn't a success financially. But to have all of those games at your fingertips. I mean, yes, that is sort of a backwards compatibility with PS3. You know, like, you can go on to the server, the PSN server, look at a list of however many hundred titles were available for PS3, and play them all streaming, which is deadly, which is absolutely fantastic. The option is there. Will people use it? I don't know. The PlayStation 3 is a hell of a lot more advanced than the PS2 was. You know? The jump was different. But to come out and say backwards compatibility is backwards thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Even if it is only 5 or 10% of your audience that wants it, that's a slap in the fucking mouth, man.
Yeah.
That's basically just saying, take this and shut up, is what they're doing. And that to me is just, man, that is rotten. That is dirty.
They've had a problem with every announcement they have made up to leading to the unveiling. Every rumor that came out. That guy who lost his job over saying it's always online, deal with it.
Yeah, like that.
If you'd cut three words out of that,
yeah,
you'd still be working at Microsoft.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, like, the always online thing, it's a moot point.
Yeah.
To me, that's bullshit. To make such a big deal out of that, that's insane. How many people turn on?
You're walking around. You're walking around with a phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's always online.
And like I said that to Brian. Brian, that was another thing. Brian kind of said, you know, it's always online. And I said, Brian, how many times do you turn on your PS3 when it's not connected to PSN? Never. Not once in a while. Never. When that machine is turned on, it's connected. Xbox, yeah. No different. Man, anybody playing Xbox 360 is connected. You know, you don't turn on the system. Like, how many... Kev, when was the last time you turned on your PS3 and it wasn't connected to PSN?
I don't have it automatically, only when I'm going on Netflix. But it's pretty much every single day.
Exactly. And like, yeah. It's always connected.
Yeah.
You know, always. And Mercer, same with you. Whenever you turn on your machine, it's
online. Mine is set up to automatically connect.
Yeah, but it's online. You know, whenever you turn that machine on, it's online. You know, and... For people to make a deal out of the system,
how else could I spy on my friends list and see what they're playing?
And I mean, there you go. There you go. I mean, this is it, right? Like, the systems have been now for the last, 7 years, always online. To make a deal out of it now, that seems a little bit hypocritical to me. It seems a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, that's typical internet cynicism.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
the reaction to that cynicism was not to say, you're a doctor, deal with it.
Yeah. I just, to me, that's just foolishness. To make such a big deal out of that is just dumb. And, just what Microsoft's been doing has been dumb.
Yeah.
You know, it just, Xbox.
And it's really sad because... Back in 2005, these guys were supposed to be the great white hope.
Well, you know, I'll always say that I appreciate what Sony tried to do with the PS3. You're looking at, and again, this is a conversation I had earlier tonight with someone. You know, when the PlayStation 2 came out, there was so much talk about how much raw power was under the hood of that machine. You know, you had George Lucas using machines based on PlayStation 2 architecture to do special effects in the Star Wars prequel trilogy. You know, you had foreign companies importing the machine in because they could use the chips in it to program guidance missile, like guidance systems for long-range missiles. You had the European Union imposing a heavy tariff on the machines because they were classified as supercomputers. You know, this was a powerful freaking system. And when Sony developed it, they developed that, like, you know, the emotion engine, whatever, the graphic synthesizer emotion engine chipset for more use than just the PS2. And the PS3 was exactly the same. The PS3, the cell processor, was designed, you know, to be up.
If the PS2 didn't sell, it would be the hot ticket military item for the next 10 years.
Who cares if it worked or not?
The old man thought it was pretty important.
But yeah, you know, the PS3, the cell processor was the same thing. Like, they were really trying, and it was, what was his name, Ken Kutaragi? I don't know if it was Ken Kutaragi, but the father.
Kaz, was it?
Yes, Kaz.
Kazurai.
No, it wasn't Kazurai. I think it was Ken Kutaragi.
Kutaragi's the father play.
Yeah, father play. I mean, he developed these machines, and his whole thing was always innovate, innovate, innovate. He never wanted to follow a trend. You know, he didn't want to build a machine that could be user-friendly to people who were used to making games for PC. He wanted to make a machine that would be the finest PlayStation 3 games you could possibly develop. He wasn't concerned about other consoles. He was concerned about PlayStation 3 exclusively. And, whatever, say what you like about how being difficult to program for multi-platform titles early on or whatever, but when you saw a game that was designed from the ground up for that hardware, nothing else could come close to it. You know, like, there was no other kind.
First time I saw Heavenly Sword or Folklore or Uncharted, my jaw hit the floor.
Exactly. Or look at Killzone 2. Killzone 2 is still a stunning looking game. And that came out how many years ago? You know?
2008?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about that hardware. I understand what Sony was trying to do with it, but the world has changed. Things have gone so crazy multi-platform now. Developers demand a certain degree of flexibility. They demand a certain degree of ease of use. Otherwise, it starts to cost more money. And it seems like the only guys right now who are trying to cater to developers and gamers is Sony. You know, like, it's a situation where the last generation, you know, Call of Duty and the hype around Call of Duty created everything had to be a blockbuster. Every game had to be this huge blockbuster thing. And then, of course, the Wii U and the mainstream success, you know, all of this created just this gaping wound in the hobby. You know, this big gushing, deep gut wound that's just bleeding endlessly. And now everybody's just kind of looking for a way to plug that. They're looking for a way to right the ship before it hits an iceberg. And it seems like the only developer who's actually trying to do it is Sony. And I don't think they can do it on their own. I don't think the company is strong enough to do it on its own. I think they need Microsoft or Nintendo behind them to do it. And, you know, Microsoft seems to have no interest whatsoever in it. And Nintendo, well, I mean, you know, there's that unicycle and juggling chainsaws while playing a trombone.
I think that's a great idea.
I just, you know, I am deeply concerned. I think the PS4 is going to be an amazing piece of hardware. I think it's going to be a fantastic system. But I think the damage has been done already by this generation. I think the Wii, Xbox 360, PS3 generation has just caused such a schism, has caused such a just a bloody goddamn deep wound that I don't think there's really anything can be done at this point. And the Xbox One is certainly not helping.
Mm-hmm.
When I feel down. Really down. When there's schism, John, you must rebel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. But that's how I feel about it. I mean, you know, it like, not only is it an...
You're never allowed to talk Dave Johnson again.
Hello? I lost you guys.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Dead space.
No, my mic did just come unplugged again. Yeah. No, I'm back.
Fucking cats, man.
Yeah, but Dave Johnson, I'm just, you know, I kind of agree with a lot of what Dave says about it. Now, Dave is more of an Xbox guy, and I think...
I meant the doomsaying, dude.
The doomsaying, I think it's a very real thing, man. And I think, like, you know, the fact that Sony is trying to lower development costs, they're trying to make things a little bit cheaper... You know, they're trying to go easier on developers is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make their system more appealing for developers.
Because in 2012, we lost half of them.
Yes, and I mean, this is the thing. Look at how many studios have closed over the last 2 years, man. Look at how many companies have just...
Good studios over stupid reasons. We should have never lost Bizarre Creations.
No.
We should not have lost 38.
No. You know, and I mean, like, their first game comes out, and it is a world-class game.
That sold how many million?
1.8 million, almost 2 million copies. And
then
they
die. For a first-time studio, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then they die.
Yeah.
You know, like, that to me is just, it's a perfect, you know, and then the whole Dead Space 3 fiasco from earlier this year. You know,
the news that Squaresoft, who have been doing nothing these past couple of years but releasing exciting software, you know, are disappointed with the reaction to Tomb Raider, which sold
almost 5 million copies sold.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's something seriously wrong. And again, another thing we were talking about earlier this evening, Final Fantasy VII, the game that single-handedly changed the way games were developed. It was not only, you know, the harbinger of generation PlayStation, it was the harbinger of modern game design. It changed how CD-ROM was used as a format for game development entirely. It was one of the most innovative games of its time. Sold,
it took gaming out of mom's basement.
Too. It sold 7 million copies. 7 million. In comparison to now what it takes to be a blockbuster game. 5 million copies of Tomb Raider was not enough. That is staggering.
There's definitely something wrong.
That is, like, just to put it into perspective, you know? That to me is just, it doesn't make any sense. But hey, we can watch Star Trek and order movie tickets.
Now, okay, you can order movie tickets. Something we can do in 5 seconds with a smartphone.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Did you guys watch all of the Bosman video when he has his little rant at the end of it about the Star Trek?
No.
Oh my God, it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh yes, I did. I did see that. Yeah.
Hey Xbox, I want to order tickets to a movie that's the sequel to the movie I'm watching right now.
A movie. What is it? I wanted to order tickets to a what?
To a movie that's the sequel to the movie I'm watching right now. Why are you being catered to, you dummy? It's just so stupid. It really is. Like, and why are they catering to these people? Why are they doing this? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. Apparently, Price is Right is just really popular right now.
Why? That was so good. Let's see it again. Xbox TV.
I know, they showed it twice.
Okay, and now, just heaven forbid, but just imagine now that it is a success, okay?
Okay.
It is a success like the Wii was. What happened to the Wii 2 years into its lifespan?
Oh, it nosedived and died.
Because there was no content for it.
No.
There was no software for
it. There was no experience.
Yeah.
Oh.
it's...
You know, all this fucking focus testing, short-term gain bullshit is going to be the death of us, and then we're all going to be back reading goddamn comic books.
Not me.
And that
doesn't sound too
me.
Bad. Playing AD&D Second Edition.
There we go. I like that idea.
So did they actually, I mean, clearly they must have talked to somebody before making this thing.
Who?
They talked to focus testing groups, and yes, men.
Who were all about television, I guess.
Why?
They spoke to the FCC. I told you fools to censor television.
I think what it is, you know what I honestly think it is? You can pretty much pinpoint the trajectory of the original Xbox 360. It launches... It goes up, it goes up, it goes up. Great games, year one ends, great games, amazing games. The next generation has arrived. Peter Moore departs, downfall. Mm. When Peter Moore left Microsoft, when Dan Matrick stepped in and turned it into just a Me Too Wii console, I think the whole thing just went to shit.
Yeah.
And I think he's still absolutely ruining what could have been a great system. What should have been a great system, you know, the successor to that. If this machine had been the successor to that first 3 years of Xbox, of Xbox 360, I should say, you know, like, man. But no, instead we get.
What are happening to Jay Allard?
Who cares?
Well, you know, I just, you know, they gave him that whole celebrity makeover thing, and. You know, he invents your very own gamer score, which is being ported over, by the way.
Oh, it is.
And
yeah.
You know, because so even though they're not apparently making any games for this game console, your gamer score is still there.
Well, Microsoft is not making any games, but all the third parties are.
Okay. you remember when all the third parties were making when the Wii U was announced, and we were like, it's all ports and stuff that came out last year.
Yeah.
Well, now they're not even doing that anymore because, you know, now apparently, I think Mercury Steam said, yeah, we can't afford to pay a team to port Castlevania 2 to Wii U.
Yeah, I mean, let's not even talk about the colossal failure that has been the Wii U.
let's talk some more about the colossal failure that's going to be the Xbox One.
And I mean, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it'll bring things back to the older days. Maybe it'll bring things back to the core market like the PS2 was. You know, do you remember how much excitement there was around that machine for the first 4 years?
Oh, yeah.
I can remember when stuff that should have been niche market titles like Contra Shattered Soldier actually got, like, posters up on the walls at EB.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a situation where maybe we'll see that again. Maybe the PS3 will come out, or the PS4 will come out, sorry, and maybe it will dominate all. And, I mean, do I want to see it dominate at all? You know what? I'd rather see two strong players than one. I really would. Because what ends up happening when you have one strong player is by the end of that system's life cycle, they've just become so egotistical and so arrogant and so demanding in what they think you should have on that system that they come up with ideas like Kinect.
Hmm.
And that to me is just bullshit.
I think it's time for Sega to get back into hardware, man. I think that's what we need.
No. No. I got something better, Kevin.
Oh, do you?
Three letters. NEC.
Oh, man. That would be interesting.
We don't need just another video game system. We need a higher energy video game system. And there's our shout out to console culture, for the week.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I do think that someone else is going to come into it, especially if the Xbox One flounders. Someone is going to be there to pick up the pieces, man. And whether it's Apple or Google or Steam, you know, like Valve, I don't know, but someone will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will see something. You will see a shift.
Yeah.
It's like the Chinese proverb said, may you live in interesting times.
They're coming.
Winter's coming.
E3's coming.
E3's coming.
Xbox, TV, Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the next step now, is just to wait till E3.
Yep.
And see how it all falls into place. But I really have a feeling that anybody expecting, like I said earlier, anybody expecting any big, huge revelations is going to be disappointed.
I hope you're wrong.
I think you're going to see some good software. I think you're going to see some pretty slick-looking games. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, the night and day. I don't think it's going to be the revolution. I think that's going to be next year. I really do. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, too. I really do. I hope that E3 this year is a mind-boggling, crazy experience that just wows everybody. But I have a feeling Microsoft's going to trout out another celebrity or two, maybe another pro athlete or two, and they're going to show some more TV features, and maybe you'll get like a call. They're going to open with a Call of Duty gameplay demonstration because they always do. And you might see like a Forza 5 demonstration, but I don't think it's going to be a whole lot.
Yeah.
Maybe Rise, this Crysis Studio, Crytek Roman game. Actually, yeah, I'd say you'll definitely see that.
Is Destiny not going to be a Xbox One title?
Destiny, I believe, is coming for everything.
Okay.
But it's coming next year for everything.
Right. Yeah.
You can't escape it, Kevin, because it is your destiny.
I got a feeling I got a hunch. I don't know if I'm right or not. I mean, it might end up being a big fall title. I don't know. But I got a feeling that it's going to come in early 2014. I got a feeling Activision's going to try and stagger it.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that, like, it's going to come in spring or summer, and then you get your Call of Duty in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Activision may be evil overlords, but they're not stupid.
No,
and they're not gonna cannibalize Call of Duty's market.
No, and I really like. I don't know what kind of a deal Bungie has with them. I know it's only basically like a publishing deal.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they can dictate to Bungie when it gets released or not. I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can basically say to Bungie, yeah, it's gonna come out, but it's gonna be a spring or summer release, rather than impact Call of Duty in October. You know,
but you know what? Honestly, I think. It's been proven the past couple of years with the proper marketing, you can release a game anywhere on the calendar.
Oh, I agree, and I mean,
people will buy it.
All you need to do is put down from the creators of Halo comes the next great universe or something, you know, and people will line up.
You don't even need from the comes the next great universe. All you need is from the creators of Halo.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say it straight up. It is, in terms of next generation software, it is probably my most anticipated game.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
I think
it looks absolutely
and
fantastic.
And I think it sounds, I think the concept behind it, like the open worldness of it and the way like the multiplayer is broken up into hub worlds and stuff like that, like I think it sounds absolutely freaking phenomenal.
It's no Nick, but I'll buy it.
Well, I mean, as it is right now, the way things are shaping up, I mean, I've got my launch library already plotted out for PS4. Right now for Xbox One, I've got nothing. You know, I'm just, Assassin's Creed 4, Watch Dogs, Battlefield 4, Killzone Shadowfall.
Seal Dogs.
But I mean, I have, you know, a list of titles, probably 6 or 7 long, for PS4. And I mean, yes, a lot of this stuff is available on Xbox One as well. But I just, for some reason, the idea of playing it on PS4 is a lot more appealing to me. I don't know why. I honestly couldn't tell you, but maybe it's because I'm a Sony fanboy.
You told me,
I am.
Yeah, me too.
So, moving on.
Moving on.
That was your hint to stop recording, dude.
Oh, okay. Actually, you know what? I'm going to throw one positive in there. Two positives, I guess, technically. I like the look of the console. I think it looks pretty cool. And I love what they've done to the controller. Just to end on a high note.
What have they done with the controller that's any different?
They've fixed the D-pad. The D-pad is more like the PlayStation or Nintendo D-pads.
Okay.
And they've added tactile feedback to the triggers. When your trigger is fully depressed, like when you, like you know how the Xbox has like the analog triggers?
Yep.
When you hit the full bottom on the trigger, it actually vibrates.
Oh, I see.
Which is kind of cool. It sounds pretty neat, actually.
Because you don't pull your trigger, you squeeze it.
That's right. I think the controller looks great. I really do. And I think the console design itself is appealing. I don't think it's an ugly console. I think it's kind of
It's gigantic.
It is gigantic. It really is.
Yeah, but that commands respect, though.
Yeah, and I think the PS4 is going to be no different in that regard. I think that's going to be a huge box, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But I do think it looks nice.
That was another great Bozeman moment. You got a little tiny box. I don't know. Can they really fit that much power inside of it?
It's got all of the gigabytes. Okay, so on that note, closing thoughts, Xbox One.
Blah.
John?
I'm going to call that one swing and a miss. Actually, no, I'm not even going to call that swing and a miss.
They didn't show any baseball games, dude.
Yeah.
No.
Like, stop blocking my fist with your face. You know, I really, really don't think Microsoft had a clear plan going into this, what they were doing. And it's just this whole unveiling was pure ineptitude.
Yeah.
Arrogance and ineptitude.
And I'll just close it by saying, you know what, guys, make a game machine.
You're actually pretty good at it when you try.
Yeah, you know, instead of all of this, like, instead of trying to get into everybody's living room as a set-top box, stop thinking like it's 1998 and make a goddamn game machine.